Now, just before we open up the scriptures this morning, I do want to just pray over it. So let's just bow our head and close our eyes. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the power and authority that your word has in our lives. As we open it together and wrestle through it together, Father, would you speak to us clearly? God, we don't want it to be gray. We want it to be crystal clear. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're with us. You're speaking to us in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, let's open those up and let's flip to 2 Timothy is where we're going to start. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, it says this. It says, mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Have nothing to do with these kind of people, it says. There's two things that I want to take away just right out of the gate here. The first one, it says here that there will be terrible times in the last days. As we spoke about months ago, I was reminding you that really since Jesus hung on the cross, it has been the last days every day after that, because there's a chance that God could come back. So we're living since Jesus hung on the cross every day until he comes back really is the last days. So we don't need to be frightened about the last days. The second thing I want to pull out of here is that having a form of godliness but denying its power. We see the list here, and we could probably all agree that I could find in some capacity everything that's listed here that we're facing today, that people are lovers of themselves and not of God. People are more concerned about their own desires and their own needs and just disregarding authority and rules and having a form of godliness but denying its power. Kind of pretending to be godly, but not really having the power and authority that God has given us through his word. So I want to look a little bit further into that as we wrestle with some more scriptures. But I can remember years ago when I lived up north that, you know, when you're sick and you're not feeling well, but you know, well, like, you know, you're just regularly sick. You're like, I don't feel so well. But you know, when you're sick and you're like, something's really wrong. You know, you're thinking like, I'm pretty sick here. So I thought, I could sleep this off. So I went to bed. The next morning I woke up, and I thought I was dying. I was like, oh my gosh, I feel so bad. I realized that my abdomen was totally swollen. So I thought, this is a time when I just suck up my pride and actually go to the doctor and ask for help. So I went to the hospital, and they stuck me on an IV and just started pumping all kinds of antibiotics and all kinds of fluids in me because they realized that my prostate was infected. And in that moment, I wasn't too concerned, and they started doing blood tests, and one of them came back that said my blood was infected, and I just thought, oh, smokes, this is kind of more serious than I thought. And just, you know, I spent some time, and I was at the hospital later, but what it reminded me of, especially in today's times, is that on Sunday, do we come to church, in a sense, and get hooked up to an IV? We're like, oh, this is so good, and church is so good. I do miss it, I got to be honest with you. But is it like, that's our time to receive, you know, a filling? We're like, yes, amen, praise God. But then we leave church on Sunday and we unhook ourselves and we go Sunday afternoon, we go Monday, we go Tuesday, we go Wednesday, Thursday. And by Friday, we're like, oh my word, I think I'm dying. I need another, you know, I need my IV again. I need Sunday morning. So is that how we're living our lives? Or are we living day to day in a relationship, a close relationship with God? Because I feel like the response of having a form of godliness is just going Sunday. But we don't do anything else besides that. We need to be godly men and women to lead and guide our families and those around us. I love the ongoing joke that seems to be out there of a pastor, he only works one day a week. He only works on Sunday mornings. I always have a good laugh at that one, that the pastor's job really is about 5 to 10% of my job. So I want to kind of think past that, though. Okay, so what do I do with the rest of my 90 to 94% of my time? When I look back at my life and I think about when I was just a Christian, I wasn't a pastor at the time, and I look at what I used to do with my time, Amelie and I, we ran a Bible study in our house. I was on the church board at the time. I was also running the youth ministry at the time. And I was doing all of this for God. But really, where was God in my life in all that? That's a good question I would probably ask myself. Because when I look in the book of Revelation, it says here that God is going to come back for his church. And often it would say that, you know, well, we did this for God, we did that for God, we're doing all these things for God, we were doing, but God says, I don't know you, because you're just doers. But I don't have a personal relationship with you, a form of godliness, but not a relationship with God. With our Sunday gatherings gone, they're in a sense postponed, with the opportunity to serve and volunteer postponed, with really using our building to reach out to our community, postponed. All the doing and serving things are on hold right now. What ways are we Christian today? I mean, watching the service is a great thing to do, but what other things are we doing now? What are we filling up our lives with? I believe this is a wonderful time for the church, not because of a pandemic, that's terrible to think about, but what comes out of a pandemic, what comes out of a situation, a tough situation. I really believe that it's a good opportunity for us to kind of refocus and realize, okay, what do I do as a Christian every day? And I just think, you know, when you get out of bed in the morning, you say, thank God for another day. As you drive to work, turn the radio and your podcast and the music off and just say, God, I'm going to work. I'm going to face all these individuals. I need your blessing. I need your wisdom. I need strength. You're going to give me divine appointments. As you come home from your day of work, you know, you're going home to your families. You're going home to your children. God, give me wisdom and how to raise them and how to be a good godly father, a good godly mother to these children. When you go about just making phone calls to your own maybe relatives, God, give me understanding, give me revelation. When you sit down and lay down, it says in the Bible, just pour Christ into your life. What can we do now besides meeting and serving? Well, we can really press into God. I want to even take it a step further. I want you to imagine yourself now. You're just going for a walk. Lots of people stay at home, or at least lots of us can go out for walks. We're going for a walk. We're plugged into something. We're listening to some music, good music. Yeah, we're filling ourselves, filling our lives with good gospel music or listening to a podcast or going for a walk. And out of nowhere, somebody bloody shoves you in the bushes. Like you're walking on the sidewalk and all of a sudden, you go flying into the bushes. And you get up, you're just dazed and confused. You're like, what's going on here? What just happened? And you realize that a car was about to run you over and somebody pushed you out of the way and really saved your life. And then you came upon this person, you said, are you okay? You know, thanks for saving my life. And you realize that they had a card in their jacket. And on this card is your name, your full name too, Robert Charles Young. Your full, you're like, this is obviously for me. This person wanted to deliver this to me. And you realize you open it up, and you see that what it says inside of it, it just says how much the person cares for you. They want the best for you. They want to see you succeed in life. They just want to pour into your life. And you realize, holy smoke, somebody sacrificed their life so that I could have a better life. And what would you do with this letter? What would you do with the person that did that to you? That would be very moving, wouldn't it? And when we come to this Bible, it's the same thing. Jesus Christ gave it all for us. And then he left us a nice letter to read about so that we can be encouraged, so that we can be blessed. So how do we treat this thing now that we have it? What do we do with it day and day after day right now, especially when we're, again, we can't come to church, we can't do any ministries. What do we do with this thing? Oh, this is a wonderful time to really relook at our lives and our situations and our priorities and make this a priority. To spend time in it. Oh, would you say amen to that? Let's continue to read in 2 Timothy. We got down to verse 5. Let's jump back into verse 6. They are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over weak-willed women, who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to acknowledge the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these men, the truth, men of depraved minds who are far from the faith is concerned, are rejected, but they will not get very far because, as in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. Have you just ever read through your Bible and you're like, who or what are they talking about? And when I read about these two individuals who oppose Moses, I kind of put the e-brake on my Bible. I'm thinking, okay, I know I'm supposed to read all of chapter 3 today, but I just read that and it doesn't make sense to me. I need to find out. I need to dig a little deeper. So let's dig a little deeper into these two orangutan yahoos and look back into the book of Exodus. And in the book of Exodus in chapter 7, we will find these two individuals. And we see here in Exodus chapter 7, verse 10, as I begin to read, you'll begin to understand where we are in the story. Exodus 7, verse 10. So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did just as the Lord commanded. Aaron threw his staff down in front of Pharaoh and his officials, and it became a snake. Pharaoh then summoned wise men, sorcerers, and the Egyptian magicians, I'm getting tongue-tied here, also did the same things by their secret arts. Each one threw down his staff, and it became a snake. But Aaron's staff swallowed up the other staffs. Yet Pharaoh's heart became hard, and he would not listen to them, just as the Lord had said. So often when we're reading, you know, we kind of put the e-brake on and wanted to go look at a story and look at somebody. Listen to the first thing that it says here. So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did just as the Lord had commanded. They didn't do their own kind of play on it or their own design or just kind of tweaked it a little bit. They followed God to the T. They did exactly what God had commanded to them to do. How would they even know what God said to do or what they should do? It's because they were listening to God. They were obedient to God. They were searching for God with all of their heart. And God directed them. Sometimes we can just miss that. We're too focused on the other stuff in the world and we just miss what God has for us. It just goes right by us. Let's continue to read here in verse 20. So Exodus 7, verse 20. Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord had commanded again. Beautiful. He raised his staff in the presence of Pharaoh and his officials and struck the water of the Nile, and all the water was changed into blood. The fish in the Nile died, and the river smelled so bad that the Egyptians could not drink its water. Blood was everywhere in Egypt. But the Egyptian magicians did the same things by their secret arts, and Pharaoh's heart became hard. He could not listen to Moses and Aaron, just as the Lord had said. See, this is a second time that these magicians were able to duplicate what Moses and Aaron had did. Sometimes we miss that, that Satan, the enemy, can really do some things that are very counterfeit to God, but it looks good. You know, it's this on the same playing field. Often our enemy is just trying to trip us up and confuse us and give us something that's counterfeit to God. Let's look at this a third time. Exodus 7, verse 23. It says here, instead, he turned and went into his palace. Do you see just right there? Okay, so if you put yourself in Pharaoh's shoes, Moses and Aaron show up in the scene. They're doing these miraculous things. The people that you lean on, the people that you trust, your leaders and your elders and your sorcerers and your magicians are doing the same thing. So you're thinking, okay, I've got two options here. What do I care? It doesn't seem like it's really that, you know, big, such a big deal. So Pharaoh, he turned away. See, God was up to something and Pharaoh turned away from God. Oh, so often we dismiss it, don't we? God is up to something and it just goes right over our heads and we turn away and we miss it. This is such a key point that we got to understand. It goes on to say also in verse 23, and did not even take this to heart. There it is right there. We got to take it to heart. We got to take the word of God to heart. We got to take what God speaks of us to heart. We just got to be obedient. We got to do just what God has commanded us to do and live it out with confidence. Let's not bow down to counterfeit, you know, things or counterfeit hope or counterfeit situations or our minds leading us. We got to be obedient to God. Let God lead us. Let's turn to God and let our heart be drawn to God. It also would say here in chapter 8, Exodus chapter 8, we're going to find a third time here when the Egyptian magicians do something. So verse 6, we'll jump in. So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land. That's a lot of frogs. That's a lot of ribbiting going on over there. But the magicians did the same things by their secret arts. They also made frogs come up on the land out of Egypt. Again, we see here, that's the third time we see snakes get duplicated with the staff. We see the water turning into blood. You know, both of them were able to, and we see that they were able to produce frogs as well. Three signs. Again, if you're Pharaoh, you're thinking, okay, I'm done with Moses and Aaron. These guys are a bunch of jokers. Look what, you know, we can do the same thing here. It just doesn't make any sense. And we put our security in something different. I think about when I moved here, you know, wow, God gave me a house. I mean, it's a roof over my head. It keeps me out of the rain, but it's a nice house. I think, thank you, God. A vehicle, you know, we were able to get this used vehicle to Prince Rupert. It's been a blessing. I got it for like nickels, and it's still running today. Thank God. When I think about all the doors that have opened for me since I've moved here, thank God. But is that what I'm basing my life off of? I feel like when I gave my life to Christ, I've just been blessed and blessed and blessed. But is that all it's about, is to enjoy the blessing? Is that all I'm excited about, is to be under the roof of my house? Or am I going to press in? Am I going to go after God? Do I want more from God? Because if that's our measuring rod, how nice my car is, or how big my house is, or how nice my grass is, we're completely missing the mark as the church. Let's just go on one more time here in Exodus chapter 8, verse 18. But when the magicians tried to reproduce gnats by their secret arts, they could not. And the gnats were on men and on animals. I love this point here. You got to understand this. Now that God has their attention, because they're not able to duplicate this, they've exhausted all of their options. Pharaoh thought that he was okay, and he was counterfeit hope, counterfeit, you know, security. Now that all of that's gone and the pressure's on, what is he going to do? What is Pharaoh going to do? Again, before, you know, the snake and the water and the frogs jumping around, it was all about just things. But now the gnats are on people. See, it's all fun. It's all fun and games, you know. Ha ha ha! Not a big problem. But now when it's personal, now it's personal. Now it's a personal. It's personally on Pharaoh. It's personally on all of his people. Now he's got his attention, right? Whoa, you know. Now, okay. Whoa, what's going on here? Now he's got his eyes open and he's listening, and he leans over to his wise men. He leans over to his sorcerers. He leans over to his magicians for wisdom. That's a good thing to do. It's a good thing to have people, you know, in your corner. And they give him some wisdom. Watch what they say here in verse 19. The magician said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." End of story, right? So you think that Pharaoh should, again, turn now to God, right? He's turned away from God, and now he's like, everybody is telling him, "This is the hand of God." We should be a little bit more serious here. And Pharaoh says this in reply. But Pharaoh's heart was hard, and he would not listen, just as the Lord had said. Man, Pharaoh had an opportunity to turn. He had an opportunity. God is about opportunities and triple chances and 77 chances, like all those chances. He gave him all the chances. But Pharaoh turned away, didn't listen. I just remember this story so recently that really spoke to my heart. And I just thought it kind of brings some clarity to this story when I think about Pharaoh turning away and not turning to God. I remember when I was first saved and I turned to God and I said, I don't know what this book is about. I didn't go to Sunday school. And I just said, well, we might as well read it. So we started to read it. And I got to Proverbs, and I thought, oh, this Proverbs, this is a fun book. And, you know, being newly saved and, you know, having different terminology and different vocabulary than after I became Christian, I was just reading through Proverbs chapter 12. It's my life verse. It's a brilliant verse. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 1. And look, even the page is ripped, and I've got tape on my Bible because I've turned to it so often. It says here in verse 1, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. And I like that. That's nice. Then it goes on to say this, but he who hates correction is stupid. And when I wasn't saved and I just got saved, I thought, there's a word stupid in the Bible. That's kind of cool, right? I like that. But, you know, after I thought about liking it, then I thought, I actually got to understand what it's saying here. It's saying it's stupid to be corrected. You know, as Pharaoh, all of his people were correcting him, he should have listened. And it was stupid of Pharaoh to not listen. How often in life do we not listen? And let's not allow ourselves to be as foolish and as stupid, really, in a sense, Pharaoh was. Here's just a story that would kind of resonate with this thought. When I was out shopping not too long ago, this young woman came in, and she was paying for her items, and she gave a $20 bill to the clerk. And the clerk looked at it. He's kind of fumbling with it, looking at it, what's going on here? You know, maybe like, is he worried that it's, you know, we need to wipe it down or something? Or what's the, and he goes and gets his manager. The manager comes over and is fiddling with it. And they're like, they look at this guy and say, this money is counterfeit. And it was just incredible because I'm thinking like it's money. And the owner just goes like this to the mic, just starts ripping it into pieces right in front of this lady, throws in the garbage, say, that's fake money. And so she just walks out. It totally threw me for a loop. You know, kind of like, I didn't know why I was here anymore. It kind of just threw me. But what I thought about in that situation was that this young woman thought that she had something of value. She thought she had some security in it, that it would get her something or somewhere. And what she realized is that she had nothing. What she had was invaluable, and it had no purpose, and it was worthless. This time when we're unable to get out of our house, very much of the time to look at things that fill up our lives, I really want us to be questioning the things that we're doing with our time. Is it possible that we could remove certain things so we could free up more time to spend with God? If we are reminded in 2 Timothy, as we read this morning, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. We can talk about that another time. The power of the Holy Spirit have nothing to do with them. So as we live out our Christian lives today, as we can't physically meet in a building, we can't do ministry and outreaches in our church building, what are we doing? What does Christianity look like today? Let's make sure that we're not acting like this that we just read. Let's make sure that we're pursuing our time and our energy in a wonderful book, in prayer, and committing our lives daily, just every part of your life. It's such a great time reminder to just press into God. Let's not only look Christian and look like we've got forms of godliness. Let's actually be Christ followers every day of our lives. Would you say amen to that? Hey, this morning, I'm so glad that you joined us, whether it was on our YouTube channel, whether it was on our Facebook page, whether it was on our church website. We just love you so much. Let me just pray for you quickly before we go. God, I just thank you for every person that was watching this morning. We just pray heaps of blessing over them. God, I just pray that they would desire you more and more each day. God, I just pray that you would remove every barrier that's in their way so that they can press into you today and this week. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Love you guys. We'll see you next week.